Greetings in Christ's name this morning. It's been a real blessing to be here this morning. And after hearing those testimonies this morning, I think I could probably go back down and sit down. Josh, how you reached out to Robert, and Chris, how you're reaching out to your coworkers, and just how different ones mentioned this morning. Minor detail. There we go. All right. Yeah, just how different ones were open to God's leading in their lives and to allow God to work through them. And just really encouraging. This message this morning is born out of my own journey, our journey, specifically as it relates to us going to Myanmar as missionaries. By the way, this message is also applicable to everyone here. So I just want to share with you what God's been teaching me especially, and hopefully it can encourage all of us as well. In preparing for this message, I became so passionate about what I was going to share that I started typing, and before I knew it, I had a page full on just the introduction. And in fretting about this with my family, one of the family members told me, they said, well, an introduction is a lot like a person walking across a porch before they enter a house. And walking across the porch doesn't take much time, but is necessary to enter the house. So that's what we'll do this morning. Let's walk across the porch. We're in the house. Here we go. All right. Why do we do what we do? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. And we're all very familiar with this passage. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Love the Lord thy God, devoted to God. Love thy neighbor, ready for mission. Love the Lord thy God, love thy neighbor. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. To explain why we do what we do, we must first understand who we are. We have been bought with a price and have become a purchased possession of Jesus Christ. We have been given a great treasure, Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1, and there can be, I'm sure, several messages on this chapter alone, but in Ephesians 1, it talks about us who are in Christ Jesus as being blessed. We're blessed. He chose us. And in Christ, we're holy. Do you think of yourself as holy? And we're without blame. He predestined us to adoption. He accepted us. And he redeemed us. We're forgiven. We're saved. And we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then given a great inheritance. We have great and precious gifts. Of utmost importance, then, is that we do not lose the most precious treasure that we have. Is Jesus your greatest treasure? Is he my greatest treasure? If so, he will have the preeminence in our lives. Our life will show it. There is first a being, and then there is a doing, and we've all heard that before. So, let's start with the being. Love the Lord thy God, devoted to God. What does devoted mean? The verb form of devoted is give all or a large part of one's time and resources to a person, activity, or cause. And notice the all and the large part. Matthew 22, verse 37 confirms this. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. A devoted man will keep God first in everything that he does, most importantly, his private life. Let's talk about devotional life. Turn with me to Psalm 1. And let's go ahead and read this together, this psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I am going to draw from Psalm 1, verse 3, for a parallel of a prosperous tree and a devoted man. The first point, a devoted man thrives on sap. The sticky substance seeping out of trees called sap is a vital part of the tree's life and well-being. It provides the tree with mineral nutrients and sugars that it needs to live. A tree surviving on a shortage of sap for a long period of time will wither away and eventually die. A consistent devotional life is essential for your spiritual life and well-being. A few years back, before I was married, a group of us young people were traveling in a crowded minivan heading toward Amicalala Falls, Georgia, to begin a hike there. Excitement filled the air as we eagerly chatted about our upcoming adventures. So carried away were we in conversation that we forgot to keep a watchful eye on the gas gauge. Completely at random, the sudden realization that we may not have enough in the gas in the tank to make it across the mountains to the next town hit us full force. The needle was well below a quarter tank and dropping faster by the minute, it seemed. If the scene were captured on video, you would think we are having a worship service, praising God on the downhills and praying fervently on the uphills. By this time, the needle showed slightly below empty and still had 5 more miles to go. A fear that we'd get stranded out in the middle of nowhere with no other vehicles passing us by was a sobering reality to us. God performed a miracle for us that night. We made it to a gas station without having to get out and push roll the van into the station. Whew, what a relief. I learned a bit of wisdom that night. Be sure to have sufficient gas in the tank, especially when the road of life gets difficult. Beware of running on empty. Several years ago, a strange situation occurred on a farm in New Zealand. Without warning, a farmer's cows began to fall sick, and some of them died. He called in veterinarians and health inspectors, and they tested the farm's water supply for contaminants, and they conducted other tests as well. While all of those tests were taking place, more cows fell sick, and more of them died. Soon, almost the entire herd of 100 cows was sick. When the results finally came back from the laboratory, the cause of the cow's sickness was found to be lead poisoning. The lead readings were off the chart, and the remainder of the herd was slaughtered. But the farmer was baffled. An autopsy of one of the dead cows revealed the cause. You see, there was a rifle range located near the farm. Over time, hundreds of stray bullets had landed in the adjacent farmland. There, they were inadvertently mixed in with the grass that was made into hay. The hay was then fed to the livestock. So, the tiny pieces of lead, some of them too small to see with the human eye, had poisoned the cows. You know, false teaching can have the same impact on a believer that the lead poisoning had on the herd of cows. Over time, wrong teaching produces wrong thoughts about the character of God. This manifests itself in our lives as living for the flesh. And that leads ultimately to spiritual death and ultimately to alienation from Jesus Christ. For this reason, all Christians should pay careful attention to what we are being fed. I heard that on a message by Heralds of Hope, and just a very sobering illustration of what false teaching can do and what pleasing the flesh can do in our lives. So, point number two, a devoted man drinks pure water. We live in a world where devotedness to God is severely tested. We live in a world full of distractions. The demands of modern life seem to be incompatible with time spent with God. The time spent with God could appear to the world as laziness. If you recall back to Exodus, back in Exodus, where Moses had appealed to Pharaoh to let the people go, that they may hold a feast unto the Lord in the wilderness. But Pharaoh perceived that their worship to God to be idleness. Pharaoh said this of Israel in Exodus 5, chapter 5, verse 17. He said, "Ye are idle, ye are idle. Ye, therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord." In his mind, there were bricks that needed to be molding and straw to be gathered. Time was of the essence. Do not believe the lie that life is too busy to spend time alone in quietness with God. Life should never be too busy for God. After all, God is the giver of life. The psalmist says in Psalm 42, verse 1, "As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." He got thirsty. A deer will lap water. Have you ever seen a thirsty dog lap water? They really lap it up. The psalmist was so thirsty for God, he lapped after God. Can you remember a time in your life on a hot, muggy summer day when you were craving water? What happened the moment your lips touched clear, cold water? Satisfaction. In verse 1 of Psalm 1, it speaks of the man who is blessed. The Greek word for blessed is asher, which means how happy. So verse 1 of Psalm 1 could be paraphrased, "Oh, how happy is the man." This blessed man is satisfied in God's word and in prayer and in time spent with the Lord. It brings him great joy. Keith has often said, and it is true, what we take in is what will come out. Do we memorize God's word consistently? This is, I believe, a lost art and quality in our devotional life. Memorization helps us to meditate on God's word throughout the day. It helps keep our minds on Christ. What about believing prayer? A right doctrine of prayer is so important. I'm not suggesting we get hung up on saying the right things, but rather praying in alignment with God's will and believing he has already answered. Father, your word calls me to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. Lord Jesus, show me today who that will be and lead me to them, I pray. Thank you ahead of time for preparing their heart to see the kindness of Jesus. Amen. This is praying in according to God's will. He wills that we feed the hungry, that we clothe the naked, and we can pray according to that, and that God would lead us to those people. Do we read God's word consistently to find direction for our lives? Scripture is given, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Devour the word, and we will gain wisdom and knowledge and instruction. Do we worship God in everything that we do? Worship him in praise and thanksgiving and adoration. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, it says, Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. At work, speak of him. At play, laugh for him. At home, live for him. In your closet, love him more. Everything you do is to his honor and glory. And I had to think of Daniel was sharing this morning, of just taking in God's creation. And we're worshiping him in that. We see his creation and we give and we worship him by giving praise to him as creator. Point number three, a devoted man is loaded with fruit. Love thy neighbor, ready for mission. It is out of our love for God that we will love our neighbor. This is fruit bearing. Fruit bearing is to faithfully obey all that God has commanded us to do in Scripture. What does Scripture tell us to do? Well, one thing it tells us is to love our neighbor. This is the second greatest commandment. This is why devotional life is so important. The Bible tells us what we need to do, and we pray for the power to do it. Devotional life is vitally important for living a missionary life. A devoted life to God stems from a devotional life with God. And I'd like to illustrate that a little bit here. So a devoted life to God stems from a devotional life with God. The first one is the devotional life is hidden and the devoted life is seen. Second one, the devotional life is private. The devoted life is public. In the devotional life, there is worship. Oops. In the devoted life is service. Devotional life, there's fulfillment. A devoted life, you sacrifice. devotional life, there's power with God. A devoted life, there is authority and power with men. A devotional life is hearing truth. A devoted life is speaking truth. Devotional life is being in God's presence. And a devoted life is doing, learning and doing, putting into practice. When Charity and I, when our family was out in New York City, they're doing training. For 6 weeks, we were doing training there. And every day throughout the week, we would go out for 2 hours each day to do street evangelism. And so we are supposed to meet with people, talk with them, and the goal was to share the gospel with them and bring them to a decision. And after doing this, you know, we had some good connections, but then other connections, we somehow just didn't quite, you know, maybe they just weren't ready to make the decision, or maybe they were uninterested, or maybe they just flat out rejected what we had to share with them. And so every now and then we would come back, you know, from a day of evangelism, and in our reporting time, we would just feel discouraged and maybe even feel like a failure, you know, for them not having accepted the gospel message. And then something was brought out in class that really resonated with me. And that was that no matter what their response is, as long as you do it, it's a win-win-win. If they accept the gospel, it's a win. You shared the gospel. If they reject the gospel, it's still a win. You've shared the gospel. If they postpone the gospel, it's a win. You've shared the gospel. Silence, on the other hand, is a loss. The word of God will not return void. To obey God is never to fail. Obedience is fruit-bearing. We do our part, but we leave the results up to God. We can't make them receive what we are presenting them. It is God who does the work in their hearts. This takes the burden off of us. Jesus takes that burden. We're on mission to bring God more glory. Hudson, this is a quote by Hudson Taylor. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And that brings us to our fourth point. And a devoted man has deep roots. The blessed man in Psalm 1 has deep roots. His root system is Jesus Christ. He is prosperous because his commitment is to obey what Jesus says. He is fruitful because he is constantly drinking from the spring of living water. So may it be in our lives. It is very difficult to impart what we do not possess. So drink deeply from the reservoir of living water. And yeah, like I say, this is what God has been teaching me. And so, yeah, just like any of us, we are deeply in need of a continual seeking after God. Serve others and give God glory. What is the motivation for doing what we do? So that comes back to my first question that I asked. Why do we do what we do? Meeting basic human needs is inextricably linked with the gospel, just like it was in Jesus' ministry. The greatest human need is for a Savior to deliver them from their pitiful state of sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we all need a Savior. That's the greatest human need. But Jesus did not stop with their spiritual condition. He also ministered to their physical needs as well. The spiritual condition of any person is of highest priority, but we should never leave the physical needs unmet. We must care for their physical need in addition to their spiritual needs, just as Jesus did. Compassion to minister to physical needs must be rooted in our love for God. When ministering to physical needs apart from the love of God, over time, the missionary will burn out. Our aim should be to partner with God in what He is already doing in the world. It then becomes a privilege, not a burden, it becomes a privilege to be co-laborers together with Christ in the ministry of meeting human, spiritual, and physical needs. The realization that it is God's work and we are merely entering into His work takes the tension, demands, and stresses of getting it right disappear. Our burden to meet people's needs is off of us. We give our burdens to Jesus. He will meet us there. He will give us what we need when we need it. And praise God for that. Thinking about presenting a message this morning, I had to do that. I had to give God, the burden of, you know, getting it right and presenting what I wanted to present. You know, I had to give that to God and allow God, like, the burden is off of me, and allow Christ to speak through me. And that is how it is in all of our lives. It is open for us to do that. So in conclusion, love the Lord thy God, love thy neighbor. Love for our neighbor is rooted in our love for God. Far too often, there is a disconnect between the thought of what we do from the heart of why we do it. Resolve to be devoted to and on mission for God. And I'd just like to end here with just a commitment that you can make, an invitation for you to make a commitment to God in what you do. You know, it's not about, you know, being a missionary and going to the field. It's about being a missionary right where you're at. And whatever, you know, the scripture commands us to do. And there are needs, there are hurting people all around us, and we don't have to go far to find people without Christ. And so this message is just as much for me as it is for you. And there are needs all around us. So, here's the commitment. I, and you can put your name in there, Bronson Yoder, hereby devote all my time, relationships, and business as being God's work for His glory. I'm merely a privileged participant in what God is already doing all around the world. We have, Sharon, Candace, Courtney working in the school. We have adoptive parents here. We have pastors. We have teachers. The list can go on. In all that we do, do it for God's glory. And drink deeply from the reservoirs of living water. So, that's what I'm learning. God bless. Dad.